Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The 5 o'clock Funky Buddha Happy Hour.
Bro. Funky Buddha. That's my happy place. That is my happy place, bro. You done had all the Funky Buddha? I ain't asked you. Have you had all the, you have pineapple beets, you had the maple bacon coffee porter, the hop gun, you had all the good stuff, vibing, you had all the good stuff already?
I've had everything, man. The reason why is because when we could go to Panthers games, they had the Funky Buddha Tap Room at the BB&T Center, and like me and Daniel would just hang out down there. Like we'd just wait till the third period anyways. We'd just hang out down there trying all the different beers.
You guys saw my picture Friday.
You had
the Funky Buddha involved, Dan. Bro, Dan, life is all about progression. So we got to get you out of that garbage-ass beer you drink and get you in the Funky Buddha 100% of the time, man. That's what we need to do.
I had people in town. We took it to the beach. I bought one of every kind of Funky Buddha. They were gone by the end of the day. They wanted more.
I bet they are, because that's what happens. And then at the Panthers game, Solana, so y'all do the gloves off, which is a red IPA. And I have a little hookup over at Funky Buddha with Casey and Ryan, the owners. And Sean Thornton, the punisher of the Panthers, was involved in the gloves off red IPA, and it's delicious as well. So yes, y'all can get that at Panthers Arena. But Dan, where was you at? Publix, Dan, when you got all the cases?
Yes, indeed.
Bro, Publix got it all. That's where I go. The dude walks in. When I walk in Publix, my man goes and checks the Funky Buddha for me, because he knows where I'm going. I'm gonna go get me some fruit. I'm gonna go get me a sub, and then I'm gonna go into the beer and the charcoal. Charcoal, beer, sub, fruit. That's all I get when I'm at Publix.
It's the 5 o'clock Funky Buddha Happy Hour. I had me a couple seltzers, Funky Buddha hard seltzers this weekend.
What you doing? Like, blood orange? What you doing? Key lime? What you doing?
Well, key lime is my favorite. Blood orange. You told me to try blood orange, and I mean, I've been pounding these back. Crowder, I've pretty much just switched I've just switched to hard seltzers now. Like, pretty much, period. I feel comfortable saying that. I just kind of stopped drinking beer over the quarantine. I just switched to hard seltzers. That's all I drink now. That's it. Like, I only drink hard seltzers.
So, if you think about it, with the hard seltzers, the mango guava is crazy good. You say you like the key lime cherry. I'm with you. The pink grapefruit and the blood orange. Blood orange is my favorite, but only 90. I'm with you, bro, because only 90 calories. So you drink one beer, you know what I'm saying, and look good. If you're worried about your little figure, go to the Funky Buddha Hard Seltzers, because I'm telling you, blood orange I'll drink all day. I put me a little lime, a couple of drops of lime in it. Man, you can't even taste alcohol, man. I'm telling you. I think my last child was made off the hard seltzer.
It's been an interesting show. No Hawk today or tomorrow, so it's Crowder and Solana. We're going to talk to Tom DeAngelo of the Palm Beach Post about the Canes win. But, guys, 6 days until Tua Tagovailoa. That's kind of been the theme of our show. I do want to get to Crowder some odds here to win next season's NBA MVP award. I want to hear your thoughts on this because I already have my guy circled, and I want to know what you think. But who do you think the favorite is to win?
Buckets.
We'll get to it. Who do you think the favorite is to win NBA MVP next season?
This is tough because we can go with Giannis, we can go with the norms, but I would say coming off an injury, I would say Steph Curry is up there to win
third. He's third.
He's third. Giannis, yeah. LeBron, and Steph.
It's Giannis. Giannis is the favorite. Yeah. So two-time defending NBA MVP. He's the favorite at +350 right now. Second is not LeBron, and it's not Steph Curry. Steph Curry's third. LeBron is fourth. At +700, Steph Curry is +600. Who's number two?
Hold on. So LeBron and Steph are 3 and 4. Giannis is one.
Kevin Durant?
Not KD. KD is in the top 10. He's +1400. Who balled in the playoffs but didn't make it past the first round? I'll give you that hint. Young star. Young up-and-coming star.
Damn. Not Doncic.
Yeah, Doncic. Luka
Doncic?
Doncic is +500, second in the odds to win the NBA MVP next season.
Ahead of Steph coming off a basketball non-year and ahead of LeBron after a championship.
Yeah.
AD after a championship. Doncic is number two behind Giannis, bro.
Doncic is number two behind Giannis Antetokounmpo. He's Giannis is the heavy favorite, +350. Yeah, Doncic is +500 though, second place.
Bro, Doncic is a monster, but yeah, those guys behind him, I think Steph and LeBron, especially those two, should be in front of him.
Yeah,
damn.
Well, the weird thing with Steph is that he has Klay Thompson, right? So I just so much just of their offense and their team relies on both of those guys working together. Where I can see why Steph wouldn't be the heavy favorite. And then LeBron and AD, they're both in the top six. But I just feel like LeBron's days of winning MVP are over, right? Like, he got his fourth ring. He's probably just going to coast through the regular season again next season. He's just going to focus on staying healthy for the playoffs anyways. So I wouldn't put my money on LeBron James to win MVP.
But didn't Steph win back-to-back champion? I mean, back-to-back MVPs with Klay on his team.
Yeah.
But what's the name wasn't there yet? Bro, nope. Steph.
Yeah, right. KD hadn't gone there yet. Correct.
Solana, you don't think that Steph is going to come off this damn injury with a damn firework in his butt trying to impress everybody and show him? I'll tell you this. I don't think with all of my heart, all of my everything I can, I don't think Giannis wins it next year. There's too many guys coming back off of injury. KD, Steph. Even Harden, people questioning Harden and Westbrook out in Houston. LeBron trying to prove he's still there. AD as a champion, now he wants to prove he got something. Bro, I cannot see the champion, the MVP going to a little puppy. They can't go to a puppy.
Yeah, but my thing with Steph and the Warriors is, are you expecting the Warriors to be as dominant as they were in 2014, 2015, 2016, 2017, like even before KD got there, I just don't see them being that team anymore. It doesn't mean they're not going to be great. It doesn't mean Steph Curry's, you know, taking a step back or whatever. I'm not arguing on that, but to be as great as they were, there's just too many good teams in the NBA now. They have to go through the Clippers. Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are going to want to come back and you know, get revenge on what happened to them. Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis are really good. Obviously, the Lakers just won the title with AD. Like, the West is a different animal now, and I don't think they're going to be able to run through that conference as easily as they did a couple years ago.
Bro, can I say that the Warriors are going to win a championship? I would bet against them winning a championship, Solana. But I'm talking about Steph coming off of this injury and hitting 479 threes next year. I don't know if that's a legit number. But you see what I'm saying, bro.
I think it is a legit number.
You know, see what I'm saying, where it's just Steph coming out and shoot. Steph has not played basketball, so Steph's been in his backyard. Steph's been out there with Aisha, whatever her name is, and his little cute – he has some beautiful kids, man. Him and his wife make beautiful kids. He's sitting out there shooting threes all day, showing his kids all day. Him and Clay going – best of 50 for $20. Who hit the most threes out of 50 for $20? All offseason, Solana, I am telling you, Steph Curry would be my favorite to win the MVP because he's going to hit more threes next season than anybody's hit in NBA history. Well, and if he's beating his own record, he's beating his own record.
Other than Duncan Robinson, of course. But no, I'm with you. I think Steph comes out, Klay come out. They're ready, you know, to kind of take back the West, because they're two of the best players in the Western Conference, and that team has been so good for so long. But look at the two seasons Steph Curry won MVP in. 2014, the 2015 season, the Warriors went 67-15, okay? And then the following season is when they went 73-11. They're not going to do that this year. They're just not. And it's not because Steph Curry has taken a step back or whatever. It's because the West is too good. So Steph Curry, to win MVP, they have to play at that level. They have to be the best team in the NBA by far for him to win MVP. And I just don't see them being the best team in the NBA. I don't see them being the best team in the Western Conference either. Like, that team just isn't what they were a couple of years ago. And the teams they're playing against from top to bottom are just so much better.
Yeah, and you're right. And I'm kind of along. It's crazy. I don't want to swing back and forth. And we call it squirreling the fence.
Squirreling.
But – yeah, we're squirreling. I'm a squirrel right here. I think, and I've just looked the numbers up, Steph led the NBA in three-point baskets scored for years. 272, 261, 286, 402 he hit 1 year. The man hit 402 three-pointers in a season, but I think now it's more along the line of how successful your team is while you're doing that. And to your point, Solana, I don't know if the Golden State Warriors in the new age Clippers, because the Clippers are keeping Kawhi and Paul George together. The Rockets are keeping Harden and Westbrook together. The Lakers obviously is a champion. AD is going to re-sign. LeBron's there. The team success has more to do with the MVP than I think people give it credit for. So Solana, I would succeed to what you just said, where I don't care what the numbers are. I don't think the Warriors can compete in the West. Therefore, they're going to be the fifth or sixth seed in the playoffs. Therefore, the MVP can't be on their team.
Yeah,
it's the first time, Solana. I've told you you're right. You have made an argument for the first time in 5 years that I will say, Solana, you are 100% correct, and I agree with you. The Warriors won't be high enough in the rankings, to have an MVP on their team.
So keep that same energy. Jimmy Butler plus 6,000. You down?
Oh,
Throw a couple units on Jimmy Buckets at plus 6,000 to win MVP.
With the Nets, with the same conversation we had, you think the Nets and the Celtics, and you don't think these other teams are going to get better? But the Heat are what? The fourth seed in the East? The fifth seed in the East?
Yeah, Heat and five, though. That's what you love to say. Let's get to headlines here with Dan Day.
I know Crowder agrees. Zion Williamson probably going to win the MVP.
He's fat. He's fat, Dan.
Zion Williamson plus 10,000 to win MVP. I think Hawk will throw a couple units on that.
10,000 calories?
Y'all was going to say when it comes to going to the buffet, is he MVP?
Bro, I'm going to tell y'all, this fat boy is never going to win nothing. Zero. Man, tap.
Okay, well, good news, 6 days.
And now, quickly, Dan, I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, please.
Now he's out of rookie stuff, so now he's just an NBA player. There was a chance this little fat little walk on the side of his feet kid is going to win a rookie championship or a rookie trophy. Now he's just a normal guy. Now he's just an NBA player, and he's overweight. He's fat. That's what overweight means, and people that play sports, they call you fat, fellas. I'm sorry, Dan. Continue. Keep going with it. There's nothing you can say. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, I just love that. You know, people tune into the Hawk and Crowder show, they want to hear former NFL linebacker Channing Crowder, outspoken during his days at University of Florida and the Miami Dolphins. They want to hear, you know, you come on and be passionate about football and your football takes and, you know, break down the defensive schemes. And all you really want to do is call Zion Williamson fat. Like, that's what really gets you up nowadays. Just taking shots at Zion Williamson.
Wrong. I call fat people fat. I just call fat people fat. If you're fat, I'm going to call you fat. That's what I do is do facts, Solana. So I love the way you laid it out. But, yes, I won't call anybody fat. LeBron, I don't even like LeBron. He's not fat. Ja Morant, you want me to go young? He's not fat. Luka Doncic isn't fat. Anybody, you know what? I can't even name another fat NBA player because NBA players aren't fat. The only fat one is Zion Williamson. Damn it.
I like to call him well-nourished. He's a very well-nourished human being.
And he nourished himself to fatness.
Go ahead, Dan.
Monday Night Football, Rams, there might be a fat guy on that team, taking on the Bears at 8:15.
What do you got? Are you guys betting on this tonight, Crowder? 8:15, Rams, Bears. Bears are on the road. Bears are 5-1. Rams are 4-2. LA 6-point favorites at home. Are you guys betting on this tonight?
Yeah. I think the Rams will win. We've been on a thread, but I believe the Rams will win, but I don't know if they'll win by 6.5. So I'll take the Bears. I'll take the Bears plus 6.5. I think they can – it'll be a close game, but Bears 6.5 is my angle.
Our guy Mookie Betts and his snarl one win away from bringing the Dodgers their first World Series championship since 1988. They lead the series 3-2 over the Tampa Bay Rays. Game 6 tomorrow night, 8 o'clock.
The game Saturday night, Crowder, I don't know if you watched it, but the Dodgers were up by 1, and there was some late-game heroics by a guy that like never plays for the Rays. Hit the shot to center field, a couple bobbles, and Arrozarena, who I love saying his name, for the Rays, comes home, the score is like tapping home. I don't know if you watched the game Saturday night, but that was exciting baseball, which is not something you hear a lot. But the World Series has been fun, I think. I think it's been fun.
It's been fun. LA has a bunch of stars. The Rays, they don't have big names, but they have a great team. And the whole thing, when they go to their bullpen, and even Game 5 was a bullpen game for them, and they lost, but they're playing 4, 5, and 6 pitchers a night. Like, I just got into baseball, but this World Series is very exciting because you have the big dog with all the names versus a little team with little Margot and Snell and all these, you know, the names that you don't really know, but they're competing, as we see, because they're going back and forth with the big dog that has Mookie on a 12-year deal, has Kershaw on a 10-year deal. But the Rays are competing with them. This is a good series, man, and we've argued about it. I mess with Hawk about it. But, bro, I got my son into baseball. I'm getting stuck on baseball, and this is a hell of a series we're watching.
Yep. What else, Dan?
A woman here in Miami recently put a hidden camera in the seat of her pants to capture how many people were looking at her ass.
In the seat of her pants?
Well, it's kind of like in the back pocket, kind of the seated area. I know I probably got caught. I got caught. I ain't gonna lie.
Oh, shit. I do this, Dan. People look at me. I'm a looker, baby.
Nobody's looking at your fat
Solana,
ass, bro.
If I had a camera in the back of my, somewhere on my back, you don't think all the women are turning and being like, ooh, who's the big red boy?
Nah.
Look at,
Nobody. I mean, you talk a lot about Zion. I mean, you're not exactly Solana, 180 chiseled anymore, Mr.
Solana,
Crowder.
You know I grew a beard now. And I got shoulder muscles, I have traps, and I have tattoos. Tattoos, traps, and beard. Come on, bro. Come on, baby.
Else? What else?
Light skin wonder.
There we go. Your light skin wonder. Solana, you can hate all you want to, bro. I am a looker. I am people want me.
I'm looking good. I think you're sleeping on me. I've been looking good over the quarantine, man. I think you're sleeping on me, man.
No, you done gained some weight. I could tell. You look like you'll gain any weight.
No,
you look like you'll get heavy. I didn't gain no goddamn weight.
I've been drinking hard seltzers. I've been drinking only hard seltzers watching my bod, man.
And you've been eating all that damn crap and all the Rosto Campoyo and all that crap you talk about. Yeah. Solana, you're garbage right now. I tell you that. I haven't seen you in months, and you're garbage.
What else, Dan?
I can confirm y'all both look good. I've seen both of you during the break. Taking it to the Exergen Weather Center. Temperature going to be hot in South Florida, guys. Talking about 80, 85 degrees. Got a little bit of a chance of rain. These headlines sponsored by Modelo Especial, the perfect beer for your home tailgate. Modelo Especial, beer brewed with the fighting spirit.
One thing we didn't talk about this hour, Canes won over the weekend. They beat UVA. They're 5-1. Manny Diaz was on with Joe Rose earlier, and he basically said, we're happy. 5-1. No matter what, you got a win, no matter how sloppy it looked. But Crowder, let's talk to Tom DeAngelo next of the Palm Beach Post about that Canes win.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
I got a twerk game.
What?
I don't have the biggest booty, but I can move it.
Hawk and Crowder.
Canes are 5-1, Crowder.
Yes. Proud of that win? Y'all proud of that win Saturday?
I mean, don't throw me in there.
Don't you go FAU, yeah, wherever they're Panthers, because they got whooped by FCS team. Let's go back to the Canes.
Yeah, I don't want to poo-poo on the Canes, because, look, they're 5-1, and their only loss is to Clemson. So when you look at it that way, it's a good season thus far for UM, but I'm definitely not bringing up the Panthers, FIU, because what a bad one. But let's go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. No Hawk today, so it's Crowder and Solana. And we're going to talk to Tom DeAngelo, an old friend of ours. He covers South Florida sports for the Palm Beach Post. You can follow him on Twitter at TomDeAngelo44. Tom, thanks for joining the show.
Hey, guys. It's great to be back on. You know what? I think after last year, last November, the end of November, there was a football game, I think, at Marlins Park one night at the end of November. Yeah. I think from that night on, you really – I think there's a little moratorium on the pounding the Panthers stuff here. They get a break for a few years.
Yeah. I mean, that was their Super Bowl, their national championship for a couple years. I feel good about that. I'm a proud FIU alum. I feel good about that, Tom. We can FIU could go winless this year. I'm still going to celebrate the Marlins Park victory over UM. I feel okay about that.
They very well could. They were the first that's the first FCS team to beat an FBS team this year, by the way, last week, Jacksonville State. So
well, forget that. Let's forget that.
Go to a real team, Tom.
Yeah, let's get talk to about the Canes. Real football.
Yeah, so the Canes, they beat Virginia. It was
yep.
Well, let's just start there. They beat Virginia. They're 5-1. So why don't Canes fans feel as excited as we probably should feel, considering if at the start of the season you told everybody you'd be 5-1 through six games and your only loss would be Clemson?
No, you take that in a half. You take that in a heartbeat. That's absolutely the best possible outcome, and especially Miami fans, because why wouldn't you feel good about them? I mean, there are reasons. There are some concerns, yes, but you're at the best possible spot you could be at this point of the season. You've been through 15 years of underachieving, overhyped, just a program that has become basically irrelevant, certainly irrelevant in the national scene, a program that's become irrelevant in the ACC, which is hard to do. And they have been irrelevant in the ACC for their entire existence in that conference, except for one year in which the end of the year turned out to be kind of a fraudulent year. So why wouldn't you be excited at this point with a break, with a week off? I'll give you some reasons that, you know, there's a little bit of concern, but you know what? You don't have another game for 9 or 10 days, and you're going to go into that game 5-1. You're going to go into that game controlling your destiny for the ACC championship game. I think there's everything to right now feel good about.
And Tom, I was just watching that UVA game, And it seems as if UVA said, we're not letting you run the ball. You're not going to beat us on the ground. Beat us through the air. D'Eriq, go crazy. Do what you can do. D'Eriq had, what, 320 through the air but couldn't put it in the end zone? Mike Harley went crazy. He stepped up as the number one receiver. But did UVA kind of break the code? Did they show people how to beat UM?
Well, here's where there's a few concerns, Crowder. I think, number one, this team, it's hard to evaluate them because we've seen these receivers basically disappear for 2 weeks and not be able to catch anything. And then Mike Harley busts out and goes crazy. Do they have a vertical game? I think they can. I mean, it's not the greatest group of receivers. It's probably probably an average group of receivers. But when you have a quarterback that is kind of a dual threat and he has shown he can throw the ball, Miami has won both ways. They've won depending on the running game like they did earlier in the season. That running game has kind of disappeared. That's one of the concerns I'll get to, is that it's kind of disappeared. Cameron Harris has kind of gone away after the first 2 weeks. He has not been a threat at all. And I think part of that, too, is the offensive line, which has not played very well the last 2 or 3 weeks. So what is the best way to stop them? I think with D'Eriq King, at least they've shown they can beat you both ways. If he needs to throw the ball, we all know he's not the greatest passer. He's not going to be, he's not going to be an all-pro in the NFL. But he can throw the ball well enough to beat you, and you can rely on his legs well enough to beat you. But he's got to have time. This offensive line has they allowed 3 sacks the first 3 games. They've allowed 13 the last 3 games. So there's been some slippage in a few areas. But also with a little bit of a more difficult schedule coming up, that is a little bit of a concern. But I think they're going to be, with Rhett Lashley, I think they can adjust and at least keep themselves in games no matter how they play you defensively.
We're talking to Tom DeAngelo of the Palm Beach Post. Follow him on Twitter at TomDeAngelo44. So these are teams that scored over 30 points on Virginia this year. NC State, Wake Forest, 2 teams UM plays coming up, by the way. And they also gave up 20 to Duke. They won that game, and they lost to Clemson 41-23.
Right.
So how does Miami, with D'Eriq King, who I think, we can all agree has been a huge bright spot for this Canes offense this season, and you bring in Rhett Lashley, you're playing this up-tempo offense, how do they only score at home, prime time, 19 points on this Virginia defense?
Well, number one, you're right. It's an upgrade. It's certainly, we know that. And that's one of, when I talk about being excited, there is an upgrade at quarterback. So that is definitely one of the reasons they're 5-1. It's a little different. There has been a little regression in my mind from the first 3 weeks, I guess, up to the Florida State game, starting with the Clemson game, which is where things started. And even Mike Harley said it. There was kind of I don't know if they got, this is something Manny's been guarding them against. He mentions it every week, guarding against thinking you made it, after you're 3-0. But I don't know if they went into that game and they thought, hey, we're in good shape. We now can compete with Clemson, and then just got, they just got destroyed in that game. No matter what the final score was, it was worse. And they were never in that game except for the only reason they were in that game at halftime was because Dabo Sweeney let them in the game. But other than that, they were not in that game. I don't know if they came out of that demoralized because it has not been great the last few weeks since the Clemson game. But I still have confidence that their offense is not going to just disappear like last year. You're just not going to get this. That offense by the end of the year was nothing to it. And we saw the last game of the year, they got shut out by Louisiana Tech. I think try to go as up tempo. I don't think they've been quite as up tempo as they were, the Louisville and Florida State games. Again, running attack, maybe rely more on Cameron Harris. And here's another thing now, and here's a big difference too. The last 2 games we're talking about, there's been no Brevin Jordan. And when you have a receiving core that's not, that's not one of the top, that's not a great receiving core, that's a big loss when you don't have Brevin Jordan. Getting him back would be a great help.
Yeah, no, that's a very fair point. I was actually going to ask you on an update from Brevin Jordan. But with everything
well,
you
he
just
should
said,
be.
Go ahead.
I think Manny said the other day that they, you know, with the week off, I think they're expecting him. And we, you know, we never know with these injuries; they'll never tell us the full story. But I think the expectation is he'll be back soon. But go ahead.
So with all that said, how would you grade Rhett Lashley through six games as the OC here in Miami?
Well, if you're looking at what they did before, they've certainly upgraded their offense. I mean, they're almost 100 yards more a game. I think somewhere in that area, they've gone from like 90th in total offense to in the 40s in the country. And I realize that those numbers are skewed because of the teams playing and all, but still. I think it's kind of, you know, earlier in the year, everybody was like thrilled with what was going on. Last 2 weeks, maybe it's come down a little bit. That you know, people come, you know, that excitement has waned just a little bit. But I like it. You're talking in 1 year, you are not going to get, remember, this is a lot of the same players with the exception of the quarterback. Everybody in the right, was it the right tackle on Jaron Williams, who came over with De'Ara King from Houston. Other than right. that, we're basically talking about the same. This is the same personnel, you know, the exact same player. You know, so have that. It's been an improvement, and I think he's done a good job. I think there's a long way to go, and when they get players in that they want, their type of players, it'll get even better if Rhett Lashley stays around and is able to kind of get something entrenched here. So I think it's been about as good as you can hope, considering where they were starting.
And Tom, in the ACC, this is a different year. It's not the Coastal and the Atlantic because of COVID. It's right. just a big conference, and the top two teams play. So we know Clemson's the best, and I would say Notre Dame mm-hmm. right now on paper looks good. Mm-hmm. UNC, North Carolina State, BC. Where would you rank UM in the overall ACC, knowing that there isn't two sides this season?
Well, I think there's a big gap right now between 4 and 5, and obviously 1 and 2. You're right, Clemson and Notre Dame. I think three is Miami, and 4. Miami and North Carolina are 3 and 4, and it's going to be depending on the week and who looks good. And they both look. North Carolina looked better. North Carolina just destroyed NC State, which is not a bad team. So they're 3 and 4 in whatever order. And the good part is they finish off the season playing each other, right? So we're gonna have a good handle on who's, and if that game means anything, and it could possibly mean for that spot in the championship game, depending on what Notre Dame does. So they're right there. I think the league's not, the depth of the league, 6 teams in the top 25 a couple of weeks ago was a little bit overblown. Virginia Tech's come back, North Carolina State's come back, but still, those are good teams. And here's one thing to look out when you're looking at the last half of the season: Miami has won four games in the ACC. They're 4-1 in the ACC. The four opponents they have beaten are 5 and 16 in the conference. Their schedule gets a lot more difficult because playing on the road at NC State, playing on the road at Virginia Tech, Wake Forest is not bad, but that's a home game. Should be able to beat Wake Forest. And playing North Carolina, those are three games that you could say to me they're going to win all three or lose all three. I'd be surprised they won all three, and I'd be surprised they lose all three. But it's a possibility. They can go 2-1, 1-2 either way. And it's a more difficult schedule because the only team they've played that's been any good the first half of the year is Clemson. And they got destroyed in that game. So that's something to look out for, because the league, though, it's not, you know, it's much improved from where it was last year, and it's a little bit deeper. And the teams that are better are all on Miami's schedule.
Damn. He's Tom DeAngelo. You can follow him on Twitter at TomDeAngelo44. Tom, always appreciate the time.
Thanks, guys. It'll be interesting to watch the rest of this year, and I hope Crowder. I hope the Gators get to play a game again.
Oh, yeah, man. Tom, Dan, Mullen's wife needs to keep kissing the kids in the mouth. She's spreading everything around. Leave the kids alone, you know, Tom.
I thought the whole objective in this country was to drain the swamp, not fill the swamp.
She was filling them with kisses, and I don't want my swamp filled with kisses.
Yeah, the contact tracing didn't have to go far when that outbreak
happened. Mrs. Mullen, yes, that's her right there. Appreciate
all right, guys,
you, bro.
Thanks.
Yes, thank you, Tom.
Same here. Thanks.
I did see that that LSU game got rescheduled, though, Crowder, right? Like towards the end of the year for UF?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Bro, we had a little squad now, and Trask is playing well. We got a little something offensively. Defense, they lost me a lot of money, so I won't start cussing. But yeah, nah, we'll reschedule and see what happens. But this year, we know how it is. NFL's rescheduling, college rescheduling. So yeah, we just got to deal with it. But I'm upset that you can trace it right back to Mrs. Mullen kissing people in the mouth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bro, I've been a part of so many football teams, and I've never had a mouth kiss. Like, I don't do it. Like, football is not about mouth kissing. Why would that be a part of football? I don't get it.
Dan can't be happy about that either, man. Like, it's just like a weird situation going up in Gainesville.
Have you seen LSU this year? Dan is happy they're not playing games.
Yeah, who'd they lose to again?
Was it Mississippi State? Was one of them?
Yeah,
and Missouri.
Mississippi State and Missouri. That's right. Yeah, oh, that's right. Our guy Dan back there, a huge LSU fan.
Well, I'm an alumnus. Come on, man.
Yeah, struggling with those Tigers.
They beat the snot out of the Cox this past weekend.
Yeah, pause up.
Go Tigers.
He's got his new girlfriend. Come on.
I see. He got him a little bad one. Well, bad for him.
For him.
Bad. Yeah. Yeah.
6 days until Tua. By the way, Miami Hurricanes football on the radio is sponsored by Milam's Markets, your football tailgating headquarters at the stadium and for your home parties, Milam's Markets. No Canes game this Saturday. They'll play the following Saturday, as Tom was just saying. 6 days until Tua. We'll talk more about that next on Hawk and Crowder.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Do I have a shot with Mila Kunis?
No.
Hawk and Crowder.
Day, I know that I can count on you.
Don't do that.
Dan Day slowing it down, man.
Dan broke up with somebody this weekend.
Yeah, you good, Dan?
Hey, man, just hanging in there.
Dan.
Uh-oh, yeah, ain't nobody playing this song if they ain't had no relationship problems.
Yeah.
It's okay, Dan. Dan, if you need to come over and drink some Funky Buddha, man, we can talk about it.
That means the world to me. Thanks.
Sound like you about to cry. You okay?
I'm good.
I can't imagine Dan Day crying. I just can't picture Dan Day crying over anything, really. Maybe like if he ran out of some mayonnaise or something. But like that's it. Like I can't imagine you crying about like a girl or something.
No, man. No, I don't cry.
Yeah, he's crying now. Solana, you too young, man. Them girls can get to you, bro. Tight as I've sat with some very prestigious, manly, well-known men and had them cry about their wife or significant other. Man. So, yeah, man. Them women
like
will get to you now.
Name some names. Put them out there.
I can't say it.
You know,
go look at anybody divorced while playing with the Dolphins, and they probably said something to me. Yeah.
All right, yeah.
And they say, Crowder, man, we have a tough time. I say, yeah, man, move on. Don't worry about it. Move on. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, you're like the worst advice giver, though, when it comes to relationships, because you just tell people, like, oh, whatever.
Yeah,
go to the strip club. Go to the strip club.
Yeah, go see something wiggle. Yeah, you see something wiggle. It's fish in the sea. It's always fish in the sea.
It's deeper than that, though. Like, sometimes you know, your boy needs the old talk. Like, listen, man, just call her up. You know, tell her you miss her. Tell you love her.
And I know, and Solana, and they should call you because you know how I am. It's even, we've joked about it when people get fired from the station and they're like, hey, Crowder, I got to let go today. And I give them the worst advice ever. Yeah, keep your head up. Keep rolling. Nice to see you. Good to meet you. I'll see you around. Like, I'm the worst at advice when your life is in turmoil. Don't ask me for anything if your life's in turmoil because I'm terrible with it.
You're the little league coach that doesn't want to be the little league coach. You just, you'll get him next time, Johnny. Slap on the butt. Yeah.
I'm the relationship little league coach that thinks I should be in the majors.
Right, right. Like, you think you're too good for your job, so you're holding all the good advice for when you get promoted. Yeah, you'll get them next time.
Yeah, man, she wasn't worth a damn anyway. I saw her. You see, it was snaggle too. She hadn't even, her teeth were garbage. Yeah, don't worry about her. Terrible advice. So don't ask me if you have any relationship problems. I'm terrible.
My only relationship advice is break up with them. Even though, like, I got to ask about my relationship. I don't even listen. I go, break up with them, break up with them. But she already broke up with me. Break up with them.
Man, nah. You guys need, you need relationship advice from me, a real lover, you know? No, you got to call her. You got to send her some flowers.
Solana, you took your girlfriend to work out on her birthday.
Irrelevant.
No, it's not irrelevant.
She likes,
it's not irrelevant.
She likes to work out, so it was a great date idea. Great date idea.
Yeah, I like oxtail, but I don't want it on my birthday.
But she enjoys doing you know, some squats, a little deadlifting. We had fun on her birthday, man.
A good birthday deadlift, Solana. Just think about that. A good birthday deadlift.
Set a PR, personal record, deadlifting that day.
Yeah,
it was a fun day.
Yeah, come on, baby. Yeah, your birthday. Oh, what are you turning? 26? Yeah. Lift 300 pounds off the ground until you can stand up. Yeah, a good birthday deadlift, Solana. You're locked in. I love it. Yeah, you're a romantic.
Yep. It's the 5 o'clock Funky Buddha happy hour, by the way. We had a good show today, crowd. I mean, no Hawk. Yeah. No Hawk. Had a good show today, though. Talked to Tom D'Angelo there of the Palm Beach Post about the Canes are 5-1. We also talked to Adam Kilgore earlier in the show about the NFL and the Patriots being done. Like, a lot got accomplished today. I put Tua Tagovailoa in the Hall of Fame before he even takes his official first snap as the starting quarterback, and we both agreed that the Patriots dynasty is done. So it was a good day for Dolphins football fans.
Yes, we've made a lot of assessments, and if they're right, I would love it, but I would say the proof's in the pudding, Solana. I know, and I love it, and we had a great show, great conversations, but proof's in the pudding, baby. But the Patriot thing too, they're not, yeah, I think they need a total reset to get that together.
Yep. All right. Well, it's a fun day. What are you going to do today, Crowder? Going to watch Monday Night Football?
I'll watch Monday Night Football. I got to take my daughter to tennis practice. My son got baseball. I'm doing the grown man thing this afternoon. But I will be on the TV to see what the Rams do because I'm getting ready for next week. I'm not watching the game, bro. I'm watching the Rams to see what Tua will do. My whole focus for the next 6 days, as you've brought up a number of times, Solana, my focus is on Tua's first start on Sunday against the Rams. That's where I'm locked into.
Thanks to Tom D'Angelo, the Palm Beach Post, Adam Kilgore, and Alan Pupar. Thanks to Dan Day for holding it down in the studio. And for Danny G, the Sports Bomber, for also holding it down back there. We'll be back tomorrow. Crowder and I, Hawk is off tomorrow as well. He'll be back on Wednesday. But we will speak with you tomorrow.
Solana, how about you take your girl to do some hang cleans for Christmas? That sounds about right.
Dan Day is the opposite of that. He, no water for Dan Day, just Bush Lights. Only Bush Lights for Dan Day.
Bush. Who drinks Bush? Todd Smith was still balling in Denver. It's another name I'm bring up. You don't know who the hell it is, Solana. Because you're 14 years old, he's fat. That's what overweight means, and people that play sports, they call you fat, fellas. I'm sorry, Dan. Continue. Keep going with it. There's nothing you can say. The only fat one is Zion Williamson. Damn it. Solana, you're garbage right now. I tell you that. I haven't seen you in months, and you're garbage.
What else, Dan?
I can confirm y'all both look good. I've seen both of you during the break.
You need to need. Need
that's all, folks.
You need to need. Need.
Dust in the wind. All we are is dust in the wind.
Oh, no.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
I didn't think it was good, bad, or bad meaning good, or good meaning good, or bad meaning good, but I just thought it was a bad movie. I walked out.
Hawk and Crowder.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.